that is within members of South African Police Service. I'm not going to dwell much because of time. Through yourself, then personally, I'll throw it back to you and say that I brought the Independent Police Investigative Directorate to the CLS committee. They have their presentation, which is not a very long presentation. I think you were here when SAPS was doing their presentation.
Mm.
So you must follow suit what SAPS did, because I'm supposed to leave within the next 10 minutes. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Okay. Over to you, Director. Okay.
The Deputy Minister,
excuse me, I think before you have introduced your team, or let me start from us. My name is Tony Fanny, I'm the chairperson. I'm the chairperson of Security and Justice, which includes this department. I'm a permanent resident from the Western Cape. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and
Deputy
Minister, Ronald
Engelbert, Permanent Deputy Minister.
My name is Tabi Sowan. I'm presenting the Eastern Cape. I'm a permanent delegate in the NCOP. I'm the member of this committee.
Next to me, I'm Tia. He's the condemned member for the committee. Thanks.
Thanks, Chairperson, honorable members, Deputy Minister. My name is Israel Kamayane, the acting executive director for the ICIT, and thanks for the invitation. Our presentation will cover the ICIT budget for 2016-17, the annual performance plan, and as per the request of the select committee, the recommendations that are referred to SAPS. We'll try to run through the presentations and summarize most of our slides. With me on the delegations, I'm having the acting CFO, Mr. Patrick Sicheli, just raised his hand. Then Kokomo, investigations acting. Then we have Mr. Warali Mutualedi, legal services. Then we have Mayor Mamudisha Molope, stakeholder, chief director. Then we have our Director of Strategy, Melindela Nonjanduka. Then we have our PLO, Dr. Chris Mahobotiti. Chapter 10, I will start with the presentation outline. I think is an overview by myself. Then we will go to the MTEF budget allocation for 2016, then the programs and the status report on the ICS recommendation, status report on the vacancy rate, notable achievements, and the conclusion. Before going to the overview by myself, I must indicate that in respect of our spending of the budget for the previous financial year, we were able to spend 100% of the budget, and it was consistent throughout leaving the quarters that we spent 25-25 for each and every quarter. But in respect of the targets there that the budget talks to, the output, we managed to do 77% vis-a-vis the MTF target of 60%. So we are able to achieve our targets. The department remains committed to implementing the result-based management approach to organizational performance that was adopted in 2012-13, and the alignment of the department's strategic and annual performance plan for the year under review further gives effect to the results-based management approach, and in line with driving towards the federal achievement of the outcomes, the strategic goals and objectives of the department are linked to outcome 3 and 12 of the MTEF for 2014-2019. And as far as this necessitated the department to adjust some of these strategic objectives as reflected in Annexure A of the table of the APP. The department's key priorities over the medium-term priorities is to strengthen the investigative capacity, including improving the quality of training for investigators and the guidelines, systems, and procedures used to investigations for investigations and reporting capacity, taking the NCIT unit at provincial level, and the implementation of Section 23 of the IPIT Act, which was never implemented during the inception of 2012. The department will further conduct the research studies on factors that are underlying on the high intake of assault cases. I think the PCP also raised that particular concern. And lastly, the department's fiscal envelope has been greatly affected by the budget reprioritization as a result of the student protest and the drought relief that took place in 2015-16. As a result, will, as the department, continue to have unfunded mandates that are not accommodated by the NCAF allocations, and this includes the implementation of the Marikana recommendations, funding on the ICT and infrastructure, and the expansion strategy. This means that for 2017-18, our budget has been cut by 14 million, and for 18-19, 23 million. And we have indicated to Treasury and to the Minister that this, in actual fact, it says we must retrench 14 SMS members from the department, which is not possible because you cut this all based on the establishment and it must be on compensation of employees. And I don't think you will talk much on that as and when he deals with the budget. Thanks, Chairperson. Over to the first lady, the ACC.
Thanks, Acting Eating. Deputy Minister, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, as well as colleagues, I'm going to take you through the medium-term expenditure framework for 2016-2018. My part of presentation will cover the following areas. Out of the index, in summary, budget allocation, feedback on our engagement with National Treasury, as well as the unfunded mandate. The next slide, we have reflected the 2016 MTF budget key priority area in line with our ENE for 2016. The following areas were considered and prioritized in 2016 budget: the capacity development for investigators, awareness training for police officials on key provision of the IT Act, as well as personnel capacity and relevant investigative expertise. These were the key areas.
I wonder what document is using, because we have this one and this one. We have the small one and we have the big one. Which one are you reading from?
Thanks, Honourable Member. The next slide is on IPENEG performance indicators. Chairperson, this slide demonstrates an alignment of budget as well as the performance. We have indicated key performance areas which are under Program 2, Investigation and Information Management. We have also highlighted one of the key strategic areas in Program 4, and we have allocated a budget to each activity in the compensation of employees, which is 101 million for the investigators and 33 million for goods and services for operation expenditure in investigation and information management, as well as 8.9 million for compliance monitoring and stakeholder management. The next slide, Chairperson, covers the 2016 MTS budget allocation. The below table there reflects the growth in terms of our overall budget over MTS. For 2016-17 financial year, the department's budget was increased by 11.3 million, which translates to 4.6%. For 17-18, there was a decline there from 11.3 million to 9.4 million. And the outer year of the MTF, which is 18-19, 11.5 million. The decline was as a result of the budget reduction that happened in our overall baseline. The following slide, Chairperson, talks to the budget program structure as well as the settlement. The department consists of four programs, namely the administration, program one, investigation and information management, program two, legal services, program three, as well as the compliance monitoring and stakeholder management, program four. In terms of the evaluation, Chairperson, there is a plan in the department to reallocate one of its programs, which is legal service function, from program three to program one as a support service program, and that arrangement will take place during our midterm review during the adjustment budget, and it was on the basis of the evaluation of the program as well as its performance. In terms of the strategic plan of the organization, there were no major adjustments on the strategic plan that was tabled in March 2015. APP, there's an annexure on our APP on a basis of National Treasury Framework, and it's outlined in page 46 to page 48 of our APP. The following slide, Chairperson, reflects the breakdown of budget per program over the period of MTF. There's an overall allocation breakdown. Administration as a support program, it has been allocated 30% of the overall budget over MTS period. Investigation and information management as core program within the IPIC has been allocated 64% over MTF. Program 3, which is the support legal services, is having 2% of overall budget. The last program, which is an ABLA program, compliance monitoring and stakeholder management, has been received 4% of the overall budget. The following slide, Chairperson, covers the budget allocation per economic classification. Compensation of employees has been given 72.5% in terms of the percentages. We have reflected here that goods and services 27%, transfers 0.2%, capital assets 3%. The bulk of the budget due to the fact that your IP is a labor intensive department, the bulk of the budget went to compensation of employees 72.5%. The next slide, Chairperson, talks to the comparison of budget allocation per program, 15-16 as well as 16-17. In terms of program one, the allocation budget for 15-16 was 74 million, and it's still 74 million, which then shows that there was no increase. It's only 1%, which is far less than the inflation rate of 7%. Program two, investigation and information management, 15-16. Was allocated 150 million. 16-17, it was allocated 157 million. The increment there is only 4%, also far less than the inflation rate. The following slide, Chairperson, reflects the budget allocation per province. There was a criteria that was adopted by the department when the allocation was made. The criteria taken into consideration the size of the province, the intake of cases, as well as the distance traveled by investigators when they conduct their investigation. That's what brought us to these figures as they are reflected there. In terms of the competition of employees, the provincial offices budget is ranging from 9 million for Northern Cape to 15.1 million for housing, due to the number of investigators allocated to all provinces. While the goods and services allocation is between 1.9 million for Mpumalanga to 4.9 million for Western Cape, due to the investigators' travel and accommodation when they do their investigation. So that is the approach that was adopted by the department when the allocation was given to the provinces. The next slide, chapter 10, is the continuation of comparison of budget allocation per program on legal services. 15-16 legal services was given 5.4 million, and for 16-17 it's 5.6 million, which also less than the inflation rate, like 3%. The last program of the department, program 4, compliance monitoring and stakeholder management, 15-16 allocation, 4.4 million. 16-17 is 8.9 million. There's an increase there, but I must say to the honorable members that the increase there is not an additional budget. It's as a result of reallocation of functions for communication from program 1 to program 4, since their functions are aligned with the stakeholder management. So the 50% is not additional, it's just the additional functions that were taken from program 1. The next slide, honorable members, talks to our feedback and engagement with National Treasury on the budget process. The baseline allocation was, after our budget input presented to National Treasury, augmented by 10 million in financial year 17-18, as well as 15 million in 18-19 financial year, specifically for wage increments, general annual wage increments. However, after our long and painful exercise with engagement with National Treasury, the allocation was revised with the budget reduction in two outer years of MTF by 14 million in 17-18 and 23 million in 18-19. The government did not agree, honorable members, with the National Treasury on our revised allocation and our disagreement was communicated in writing with National Treasury. However, since the reduction was cutting across in all the departments, our position in this case was not considered and we had to comply. In conclusion, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, the following are priorities which were not accommodated in our reprioritized 2015 MTF budget allocation. The first one is IP expansion strategy, which was adopted in various forums. However, it was not funded. The implementation of Marikana Commission, which will force the department to fund all the activities within its limited allocation because of the request was not considered. The procurement of access control and biometrics. This was as a result of the security analysis that was conducted by security management, which suggested that IP offices need the biometric system improvement. However, the request was not considered. Capacitation of directorate executive management in order to align with the proposal made by other entities within the Ministry of Police, and we were going to make a proposal based on the job evaluation of the position at the management level. The last one, honorable members, was the replacement of our IT infrastructure, which also was elevated to the key strategic areas. However, the funding with regards to it was not considered. This is the end of the financial part of the presentation. Thank you, honorable members.
Yeah.
Good afternoon to the Deputy Minister, the Chairperson and Governance Member of the Committee. I will take you through the planned performance for 2016-17, and after that I will also provide a status report of the vacancy rate, the feedback on recommendations provided to staff as well as the NPA, as well as the notable successes and challenges as per the framework that was provided to the Directorate by the Committee. In terms of the planned program performance, slide number 16 talks to the first program, which is program 1, and in terms of slide number 17, the purpose of the program is to provide the overall management of the IT and support services, including strategic support to the department, and the program consists of 5 sub-programs relating to departmental management, internal audit, finance services, corporate services, as well as office accommodation. The next slide provides the two strategic objectives as contained in the strategic plan of the department. And in terms of the third strategic objective on a capable workforce, we're planning to train about 450 employees over a 5-year period. The second strategic objective is in relation to the effective risk management, in which over a 5-year period we plan to achieve a level 5 status in terms of our internal control. The next slide provides the program performance indicators and the annual targets. We have about 5 program performance indicators and the annual targets are reflected in the slide. When you move to the next slide, it's a quarterly breakdown of those targets in which we plan to achieve certain numbers and produce a certain number of reports over a quarterly period. Moving to the next slide is program 2. And in terms of program 2, if you refer to slide number 22, the purpose of the program is to strengthen the department's oversight role over the police by conducting investigations in line with the powers granted by the IPED Act, as well as making appropriate recommendations on investigations in the various investigation categories and summarizing and submitting feedback to complainants. The second aspect of the purpose is also to enhance efficiency in case management and maintain a relationship with other state security agencies such as FAS, NPA, CSP, as well as community stakeholders. In terms of this program, there are 3 sub-programs relating to investigation management, investigation services, and information management. If we move to slide number 23, again, this program has 2 strategic objectives, and we're planning to train about 400 investigators over a 5-year period so that we can be able to establish specialized investigative capacity, while at the same time we want to ensure that over a 5-year period we achieve a 60% finalization of decision-making cases. Then in terms of the annual targets and the program performance indicators as reflected in slide number 24, we have about 17 program performance indicators. And if you look at the column for 2016-17, it gives you the planned annual targets for which we're planning to achieve. And if you move to slide number 25, it's a continuation of the program performance indicators with the annual targets at slide number 26. It's a continuation of those. Then in terms of the quarterly breakdown of the targets, especially reflected on slide number 26, in which every quarter we're planning to achieve certain percentages as reflected in the slide, and these targets are cumulative up to slide number 27, and those are the quarterly targets we're hoping to achieve in line with the annual targets. If we move to slide number 28, that is program 3 on legal services, the purpose of the program is reflected on slide 29 and is to provide overall legal advice, guidance and support and manage the legal obligations while at the same time providing support to the department as a whole and to investigators in particular. This program has 3 sub-programs as reflected on the slide, and on slide number 30, there is one strategic objective in relation to the percentage of legal advice provided to investigators on the ground across the state, and we're hoping to achieve the 90% 5-year target. If we move to slide number 38, that is where our program performance indicators and medium term targets are reflected. We have 8 program performance indicators with the 2016-17 targets reflected on slide 51. Then when we move to slide 32, we have provided a breakdown of the annual targets, and most of the targets in this program will be reported on an annual basis, but we'll continue monitoring the performance and achievement thereof on a quarterly basis. If we move to slide number 33, that is program 4, dealing with compliance monitoring and stakeholder management, and the purpose of the program is reflected on slide number 34, and it relates to the safe starting of the principles of cooperative governance and stakeholder management through our monitoring and evaluation activities, including to the recommendations that are referred to such as NPS. At the same time, we also report on the police services compliance with the reporting obligations as stipulated in IPDF. And this program consists of two sub-programs, one on complex monitoring as well as system monitoring. This program, on slide number 35, we have one strategic objective, and our five-year target is to ensure that we implement 90% of the integrated community and stakeholder engagement strategy. And in terms of the annual targets for 2017, they are reflected on slide number 36, together with the program performance indicators. I think the honorable members would be interested to know that in terms of the first program indicator, we're saying we would conduct about 108 community outreach events a year. I must indicate that each province will conduct 12 engagements to make up the annual target of 108. If you move to slide number 37, that's where the quarterly targets are provided. In terms of the number of media segments, we're hoping to ensure that we produce 40. In terms of awareness training conducted at various station lectures, we're hoping to conduct 120, and each province will make sure that it conducts 5 station lectures or awareness training per quarter to make up the annual target. In terms of number of formal engagements of national at national level, held with identified stakeholders, we have an annual target of 12 days. And in terms of the formal engagements conducted at provincial level with key stakeholders, this indicator includes our engagements with the community policing forums, and each province will ensure that it has about 4 engagements per quarter to make up the annual target of 144 pages. Part of the framework of this that we are given by the portfolio by the select committee, we are also requested to provide a status report on the recommendations we forwarded to staff and MPA. I must indicate to the members that IP has since 2012-13 referred a total of 7,126 recommendations to both staff and MPA, and the annual breakdown is as reflected in the graph there. When we move to slide number 39, that is where now the breakdown of recommendations in relation to the previous financial year, that is the 15-16. In 15-16, we referred about 950 recommendations to SAPS, and SAPS initiated 963, and we received the outcome of those. The outcome was that 77 of the recommendations that we received, they led to withdrawal of 77 cases, and in about 120 cases, the staff members were found guilty, and in about 34 cases, the staff members were not found guilty. We have staff is currently investigating about 407 cases, while at the same time, disciplinary hearing processes are still underway for 182 cases. Now, in terms of performance in relation to recommendations sent to NPA, we referred about 767 recommendations, and of those, of these recommendations, 38 have been initiated, and we received outcomes of 38, and we still awaiting response for on 729 cases. The third aspect of the brief that we received, we were requested to reflect on the notable challenges and solutions in relation to the recommendations, and the challenges we're citing are reflected on slide number 41. And we also presented the proposed solution to ensure that we address the challenges in the current financial year. In terms of the status report on the vacancy rate in provinces as the 1st of April 2016, in total, we have a total number of 20 vacant posts across provinces, and the breakdown per provinces as reflected on slide 52. And we have approval for the appointment of 5 posts, and 7 of these posts are still awaiting response from SASA in terms of security clearance, while at the same time we have advertised about 8 posts. So in total there were 20 vacant posts, and recruitment processes are still underway. In addition to the vacant posts in provinces, we have about 4 additional posts that have been added to the organizational structure, for the 2016-17 financial year, and these posts are as reflected in slide number 14, as a way of strengthening our newly established interest union. In terms of overall achievements, challenges and successes in provinces, we are proud to indicate that all provinces achieved the planned performance targets that were reflected in the APP for 2015-16. As such, we have improved our performance from 44% in 2014-15, as reflected in the 2014-15 annual report. Our performance is currently at 77%, particularly with regard to the finalization of investigation, that is our core business. We have also reflected the challenges that provinces experience across, particularly with regard to issues such as backlog cases, high workload in areas of debt as a result of police action, many medicine, shortage of personnel and limited funding. So the proposed solution there is that we'll continue with the backlog task team that was established to address the challenge of backlog cases, while at the same time we will address the challenge of limited funding by making sure that we advocate for the funding of our expansion strategy. Another challenge relates to the vastness of the provinces. As a result, investigators are unable or they experience challenges in having long distances, and we have tabled our proposed solution in this regard. And also the challenge of high case intake and the prevalence of cases in relation to areas such as death as a result of police action assault. And at the same time, as we have reflected in our APP, one of the indicators there, we'll continue ensuring that we create or we conduct another creation at various staff station letters. I'll hand over to the SMEC. Thank you.
In conclusion, Chairperson, honorable members, the majority of the program performance indicators remain the same. A slight decrease in the plan targets due to the limited fiscals and the implementation of interventions to improve performance in program 2, which is the core, will still continue. This includes the eradication of the backlog cases. Third, the department will continue to engage National Treasury on the projected budget shortfalls. The fourth, the continuous monitoring of cost containment measures to ensure that our resources are directed towards the core function of the department. Fifth, continuous engagement with our key stakeholders in executing our mandate. And lastly, engaging in education awareness with the objectives of professionalizing the police service. Thanks very much, Honorable Members, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Idi. Thank you very much. Honourable members, those want to put clarity or question, this is the time. Thank you, Honourable Hoshi Tolija.
In conclusion, I wanted to check once and check. I know that it's a great job for was to report into the suspect. You know, you tell me that you are now a suspect. Can you be arrested? Is there any move towards amending that challenge? If not, how do you then move through it? Because it has been the challenge that I know of the people I'm still, you know, familiar with what is happening.
Thank you, Honourable Engelberg.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I'd just like to ask, I think I should ask the acting executive director, in terms of when you hear about a policeman or when you start investigating a policeman, is it because of the public that reports into you, or is it the actual police commissioner or somebody that reports it to you? Because I'm just don't think that the public are really aware of us and what you people do, and I think it's a critical part of our law enforcement and ensuring that what's happening out there in terms of what's happening in SAPS is transparent and open. So I just think it's amazing what you people do, but how, I'm trying to understand, how do you advertise your services? Because it's normally innocent subjects that are affected by this. Thank you.
Thank you. Moana?
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me thank you for the report. First and foremost, I want to have a clarity, Chairperson. As it's a new unit. What's supposed to be the staff establishment? If you listen to the post that needed to be having people to be employed to those vacant posts. And secondly, how long did the post must be vacant, and what is the advantage that make in the process of working? Secondly, I heard over the news on the screen that they are short of 35 million to investigate the issue of marijuana. And now my question is, who are going to be investigated? Are the police or are the, because there's a complex in that project. I want to clarify, because now then they are not saying how much, but in the media they have reflected that they are short of 35 million of the interest.
Thank you. In conclusion, I want to know whether have all the provincial heads been appointed in all provincial offices? If not, how many vacancies still exist? Thank you. Over to you, Edie.
Thanks, Chairperson and honorable members. I think I will start from the bottom going up. The provincial heads, all of them have been appointed. I think it was 2014, October, November, December, all of them, up until today. So all the chief directors are there. The 5 million to marijuana, it came after our presentations at the PCP yesterday, Portfolio Committee on Police. Fortunately, we more or less the same presentation yesterday, same in Parliament, and it forms part of our unfunded mandate that we have listed. It's just that we didn't indicate the figure, but that marijuana talks to the estimates that we came up with after the release of the report. Then we came up with the project plan that we costed as the department, and it took us to the amount of 5 million as an estimate. In respect of that, we have indicated to the portfolio committee yesterday, and we are going to re-emphasize that to the select committee, that we will continue to investigate and fund that particular project within our existing fiscals, because we don't have a choice but to soldier on under the circumstances. We can't abandon it to the police, because people who are implicated, which recommendations talk so, it's a highly ranked police officers within the SAPS itself. So IP will use our saving that we'll have within our department. In April, fact, we started with that particular investigations immediately after the incident happened. We started with the investigations. When the commission kicks in, then we're informed to abandon the investigations to give the commission a chance to finalize its processes. And immediately after they were done, then we started again. We proceeded with the investigations. So it is just an ongoing. But we are now, we have brought in 4 advocates from the NDPP's office. He gave us the advocate, it's a prosecutorial driven investigations. He gave us the advices, the instructions, the directives in the investigations. So as we are talking now, it must be more than, if not 10, task team members for the same project. They are based in Rustenburg, full time 24/7, dealing with the public investigations. The staff establishment in respect of the actual, in actual facts, this department was established in 1997. And before it was established, there was a study that was undertaken by the DPSA. And the DPSA, after the federal feasibility study, then they indicated that we keep on referring to that in our annual and our strategic plans, that they came up with the figure of 535, the ideal structure for the establishment of the ICD by that particular time. But till to date, we are not near there. Last year it was 393. This year it's 414. Next year it's 423. So you will get just two additional, three additionals, four additionals. Then you take that particular ratio of the subs to the population and then IPs to subs, just a problem there, that whether we like it or not, IPs will never cope, because nationally we are having 163 investigators, nationally, since 1997 up until today. In respect of the filling of the post, according to our strategic objective, they must be filled within 3 months, as and when they are vacant. Most of our posts, we have started the process, we have advertised and tried to fill them, but in the Act, the IPIT Act of 2011, it stated that before we can appoint any person, there must be a pre-screening that has been done or conducted by SSA. Then you will have the submission there, but you can't move, you can't do anything up until that particular person has been vetted by SSA. In actual fact, that's what is delaying our appointments. In respect of the investigations, where do we start? Okay, in terms of the Act, there is an obligation on the member of the South African Police Service and MPS, Metro Police, to report Section 28 matters, all those particular matters that are listed on Section 28, as and when they become aware, to report them to IPIT immediately, and after within 24 hours, they must send us the report in respect of that particular incident, because the matters tends to be the complainant, they will go first to the police stations to report the matter. Then as and when the CSC becomes aware that this is the matter against the police and it falls within the IP mandate in terms of Section 28, then they will call us. Then we'll go and collect the matter to the station. But there are instances where they will refuse to open a case on behalf of the complainant against the subs member. Then the complainant comes to us or is advised by some of their colleagues and all of those things, go to IP, then we'll go and assist the complainant to open the case and we'll take over the matter. So there's nothing stopping the complainant or the third party to lay a complaint with the IP. The marketing is still a challenge with regards to that, because it goes with the budget. So as and when we will want to market ourselves in media, radios, TVs, and all of those things, at the moment we are capitalizing on the community radio stations. That's where most of our times will be, in those and the taxi ranks and some of those ones that don't need a lot of funds to respect of the first question from Honorable Khoshi, I didn't understand it so much. Possibly if one of my colleagues can just attempt that, but from, I don't know whether the suspect, if IPAD still has the challenge as to whether they can arrest the police officer or what.
Can I help you?
Okay, okay.
IPAD is receiving complaint and investigate and tell the police that arrest the
Okay. IPAD will receive the complaint, have the docket, then we are doing the arrest. The police, they are just there to give a backup. But in respect of the process of arresting a person, reading the rights and everything, is done by the IP. It's just that we don't have the firearms.
Oh.
We do have firearms, but we don't want to carry them. So we'll even before going to arrest the police officer, we'll instruct his commander, the station commander, that disarm him, but don't tell him that we are coming. Then we'll just go there, then they'll call him to the office, we'll arrest him, then they'll take him to the cells. But the arrest is being done by IPAD. We do have those powers. Yes.
If you said, I'm a station commander, and my right-hand man, and you are saying to me, what dream it is, he was the crisis man. Now you are saying, you wanted me to help you to arrest my right-hand man. That's exactly the question I'm thinking.
Honorable members, you know, there are many ways of arresting. The instance of a cabinet, remember we've got same powers and political obligation as the police. Nothing is separating us from that. Other than I was just hitting them and the metros. But as to the manner of arrest, they differ from case to case. Some cases, for instance, there's an allegation that this shooting was intentional, then investigate, and then when you take the matter to the director of the prosecution or the senior public prosecutor, then they say prosecution. Nobody will issue a warrant of arrest on that. Now, because, you know, it's not like a flight risk, police officer. You are doing this duty, but then excluding that duty, you sort the person. Then indeed, we'll go and, in a very, you know, dignified manner, we'll go and arrest that person. But then the incident of corruption, when we simply arrest them, don't even want to know, we go and arrest. If we deem that person to be dangerous, we can always call the national intervention of the police. We don't have firearms, but in all fairness, the police are more efficient than ours, the source and now. So we'll ask them to go and assist in arresting that person. Then they will first, you know, rescue him, disarm him, whatever they do, and then call and put him under arrest. But we do have equal rights to the police. We arrest those. So many police officers, without even the same commander knowing. So we almost have the reason that you've arrested your officers. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, I think we have covered everything. That was the first question that started from down up.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you, Executive Director. I'd like to thank the honorable members for sacrificing, and also you, Director, and your team. Thank you very much for allowing us up to this time. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
this possible that you were given for the oversight of the This is a general document here that after we put this whole over the oversight now, there's one of the echelon for you. Yes, yes, but I observe it.
You see how that person
can be. Yes, I can see that it can be here. Don't forget the slip of the